You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, coming from the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that the Lord has spared us to this another broadcast time. We're also thankful that you have our service tuned in, trusting and praying that the Lord will make it a real blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing this broadcast service with this precious congregation today. We're trusting that wherever our broadcast service is reaching, the precious Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to each and to every heart. We know that you are aware of our congregation. You see each one of them. You know what their needs may be. You love each one, so we're praying that you'll minister to each one. Now take us, take this broadcast, and make it a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're opening this broadcast service with the song, Wonderful Words of Life. There are countries in the world where you would not be allowed to have a Bible. But there are millions and millions of homes where there is a Bible. But it's not enough to have a Bible in our home. We need to study its truths and apply its teachings to our individual hearts and lives. For God has given us His Word to live by. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. It is the Word of God that we are endeavoring to bring to you on this broadcast service. And we trust that our efforts are a blessing to you. If so, why not take time to write and let us know? We'll be giving you our name and address or our mailing address at the close of our broadcast today. In the meantime, we invite you to visit our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org, where you can hear a number of our broadcasts and also read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. That's www.wayoftruth.org.
God said it.
The necessity of hearing God's Word is the title of our subject today, and we will read two verses of Scripture for our text. First of all, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 we read, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And in this message, I would like to emphasize the necessity of hearing God's word in order to obtain salvation, and what it means to hear. Noting what it means to hear first. We can exclude the type of hearing done before the stoning of Stephen, as we read in chapter 7 of Acts and verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. We can also exclude the hearing of many of the Pharisees, for they heard, but they did not do. We can exclude many disciples, for we read in John chapter 6, verse 60 and also 66, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What Jesus had said to them was, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me." Of course, what he meant was, unless you accept me, who I am, and my teachings, then you have no part in you. You cannot be a true disciple, a child of God. And it says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Yes, they heard, but they were not willing to really hear. And we can include the hearing commanded by God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first part of verse 3, we read, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee." Notice these words, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe." And that word observe means to do. Hear, O Israel, and do that which is commanded you, and it will be well with thee. Of course, it naturally follows that if they did not do, if they did not observe, then it would not be well with them. Now we can include the hearing that Jesus spoke of. "I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That's John 5 and 25. And we have the word "hear" twice in this verse of Scripture, and it means two different things. First of all, it means to hear with your ears. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear. And that's speaking of those who are spiritually dead, hearing the word of God preached, hearing the word of God taught. And then the second "hear" means to obey what you hear. So Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear," in other words, those that hear and obey, "shall live." John 5 and 25. We also read in the verse just before this one, in verse 24, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So to hear with our ears and then to hear with our heart brings salvation. It brings deliverance to the soul. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, the kind of hearing that profits has the attitude, "The Lord speaks, and I obey." Samuel was a young child, and you remember the story how his mother was barren, and she prayed to God for a son, and she promised the Lord that if he would give her a son, she would give him back to the Lord as long as he lived. And the Lord heard that prayer and gave her a son, and she called him Samuel. And when he got old enough, she took him to the house of worship there at Shiloh, and the high priest was Eli, and Samuel was helping him, and he was just a child. And he heard the voice of the Lord speaking to him. And he went to Eli, thinking that it was Eli that was speaking to him. But Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the voice did speak to him again. And this time, Samuel didn't go running to Eli to see what he had to say, because he realized that it was not Eli, but the Lord that was speaking to him. The prophet Micaiah, and Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak." 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse 14. The kind of hearing that profits has the attitude, the Lord speaks, I will obey. Now, the circumstances surrounding this passage of Scripture in 1 Kings 22 and 14, false prophets were telling the king that he was to go to war and God would be with him. But there was some question in his mind, and Micaiah was a prophet of God, and he sent to hear what Micaiah had to say. And these men that went to Micaiah told him, now you tell the Lord good things. You tell him to go to war. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. False prophets were telling the king of Israel to go to war, but the man of God told him what the truth was. Whatever God says to me, that is what I will say to the king. Oh, that we had men of God today that had the grace and the boldness to proclaim God's true message to the world today, including the rulers and the leaders of the world. Now we read about a man back in Genesis by the name of Noah, and the Lord spoke to Noah. God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13, 14, and 22. Let me repeat verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. We understand that Noah was approximately 100 years in the building of the ark. How many people mocked him and made fun of him? How many people died and went into eternity? How many people were born? We are not told in the Scriptures, but I'm sure there were those who made fun of him, tried to hinder him, tried to talk him out of it. But God spoke to Noah, and Noah did according to all that God commanded him. Now, beloved, it is disobedience to God, disobedience to His commands, that brings separation, that brings spiritual death. Yes, sin separates from God. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 and 2, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So the necessity of hearing God's word is that we be able to live, that we be able to have salvation, that we be able to have eternal life, because sin, imputed sin, separates from God. And as Paul tells us in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. Let no man deceive you with vain words and tell you that you can continue a life of sin and have Christ as your Lord and Savior. We must die to sin to be made alive to Christ. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. That was true not only in Isaiah's day, but it is also true in our day. God has ordained through the preaching of His word souls be saved. But His word must be believed and it must be obeyed. Yes, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 21 of 1 Corinthians. Remember our text, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So God has ordained through the preaching of His word, souls be saved. but his word must be believed and obeyed. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that not hear, but believe. You got to hear with your ears, but you got to hear with your heart also. And hearing in your ear and hearing in your heart must produce that believing faith. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'd like to give you some examples of hearing and believing and obeying and then salvation. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached a marvelous sermon, a powerful sermon. The Holy Spirit anointed him with unusual power and with unusual authority. And he said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." Now, when they heard this, they were convicted in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts chapter 2, verses 22, 37, and 38. Peter had told them, "You, by your wicked hands, have taken the Christ of glory. You have crucified him, but God hath raised him from the dead. It was impossible for him to be the grave to hold him, because God has sworn in an oath to David that he would raise up Christ from the dead." And so Peter tells him, "You, by your wicked hands, have crucified the Christ of glory, but God hath raised him from the dead." And the Spirit of God bore that message home to their hearts, and they were pricked in their hearts, as one translation says. They were convicted, in other words, and they were made to realize what Peter was saying was the truth, and they did not rebel against it. Rather, they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "What you are saying is true, men and brethren. What shall we do about it? It's true what you're saying. Now, what shall we do about it?" And then Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." And the results of that marvelous sermon and the working of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 souls were added unto the church by and through salvation. Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there at the Gate Beautiful, there was a man there, and through the power of God, this lame man was made whole. He leaped, he praised God, and the people saw it, and they realized that there was a great miracle done among them, and they were inquiring also. And Peter said to them, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Peter spoke to them also in regard to what they had done and what salvation was. And many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000, so we are told in Acts 4 and 4. Notice, many of them which heard what Peter said and saw the work that was done on the lame man, they believed the word that Peter preached to them, and the number of the men that were converted there were approximately 5,000. What a marvelous time they were having there. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 at the time of the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. They were having a real revival. And that was because the word of God was being preached under the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, and people were believing what was preached. Oh, not everyone, of course, but there were thousands that did. And then we find Philip going down to the city of Samaria. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Yes, Philip went to Samaria, that place where the people were despised by the Hebrews. Philip went there with the gospel, because God is no respecter of persons. And God worked through Philip mighty miracles. Devils were cast down. People were healed. And those there at Samaria saw, and they heard Philip's preaching and the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And they believed and were baptized, both men and women. So we read in Acts 8, chapter 8, verses 5, 6, and 12. Now the Ethiopian nobleman, Philip was sent from Samaria down into the desert there, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch traveling home from Jerusalem, reading in the book of Isaiah. And Philip went along beside the chariot and asked the man, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He asked Philip to get up in the chariot with him. And he said, "Well, how can I except some man guide me?" And the scripture tells us that Philip then took that very scripture that the Ethiopian nobleman was reading. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the Ethiopian said, "Here is water." As they traveled along, they came to a pool of water, and he said, "Here is water. What does hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 37. So to be saved, we must hear the gospel, we must believe the gospel, we must obey the gospel. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another broadcast with you. Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. It would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to let us hear from you and know that our broadcast is a blessing. Our email address, truth@fred.net, and our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to our broadcast. We invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another broadcast service.
Oh, come to the Savior, thou poor, weary soul. 'Tis Jesus invites thee to come. By the power of His blood, would He now make thee whole and fit thee to dwell in His home. To be lost in the night, in eternity, smooth the dark clouds from thy